Well, happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint and do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And I guess maybe instead of happy Monday, I should say Merry Christmas Eve, right? I hope you are making plans to join us tomorrow for Christmas Eve services at all of our campuses. They'll be at 5 o'clock and 6:15 at each campus, and then Lewis Center will have an additional service at 3:45. So we hope to see you tomorrow. We continued on this past Sunday in our series called Away from the Manger, where we're looking at this reality that Christmas is just the beginning, that the Savior cannot be minimized to the manger. And really this past weekend, we focused on this argument about cleanliness. The spiritual argument that was being made is, how do you get clean? And the Pharisees, they certainly had an approach to that, and they kind of had this outside-in approach. So they were giving Jesus and the disciples grief about the fact they didn't wash their hands correctly. And I guess there is some agreement there between the Pharisees and Jesus, is that that we're all dirty, right? That we've all got a problem. And even though in modernity, and certainly in their world and probably our world, it's often taught that man's basically good. But the early church fathers had a word for that. They called it depravity. They said, even though we want to do what's right, we're really built to do what's wrong. And we talked about that at Lewis Center. And we talked about this reality that it's the difference between, even though my mind knows what's right, sometimes my body doesn't do what my mind says to do. My illustration I used was playing old man basketball a couple of years ago, and there was a ball going out of bounds, and immediately my mind said, you can get to that ball, but my body disagreed. And so it tried to get the ball. I tripped over my own feet, slipped out of bounds, hit my head on a steel girder, and busted my head open. And so depravity kind of works that way from a spiritual perspective. Even though my heart wants to do the right thing, sometimes it seems like I'm built to do what's wrong. And we've tried to answer those problems in a number of ways in our culture. We tried to answer them with psychology. And I'm not against psychology or counseling. I'm all for them, actually. But just the revelation of what's wrong doesn't always correct to what's right. We tried education. Since the 1960s in our country, we've spent billions of dollars, more than any culture in history, on education. And it kind of feels like that, you know, social media reveals we're dumber than we've ever been. We've tracked pop culture and, you know, celebrities following after them and imitating them. And at the end of the day, we just feel worse about it. So Jesus ends up giving us this illustration of cleanliness, or a lack thereof, by appealing to Zechariah in the Old Testament, this vision of Zechariah and his white garments as a high priest being stained by sin. And so in this stark reality that Jesus paints by quoting Zechariah, he in a sense gives us the answer. And the answer is the gospel. It's that we're undeniably flawed and unbelievably loved. We're undeniably flawed by sin. No one says they're perfect. So in a sense, we're all the same spiritually, even though our sins have different consequences, different degrees of consequences cause different degrees of pain. But we're all in the same place. And yet the only thing that trumps our brokenness is the fact that God would send his son to die for us. That gives us meaning and value and purpose that we can't find anywhere else. So the gospel should do two things. It should make us both humble and hopeful. It should make us humble to the degree that we can't say that we're superior to anybody else. And there's this movement in the world today to say we're all the same. We're not that different. And we should all embrace unity in the middle of diversity. Where do you think that idea comes from? I think that idea is part of the image of God that's built into us, that we really aren't all that different. And we certainly weren't all that different after sin was passed down from Adam and Eve to the rest of the human race. I just said on Sunday, you know, at 21, age 21, I thought I could change the world. At age 49, I know I can't even change myself. We need that baby in the manger to grow up and to be a God who dies for our sins and to save us. But it's not just that it makes us humble. It makes us hopeful. It's not enough for you and I to look at other people and say, well, I'm cleaner than, or I'm better than this person or that person. What makes us better is what really happens in that vision Zechariah had in the Old Testament, where God said, remove his filthy garments from him. And he says, behold, I've taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure, pure vestments. How's God going to do that? Well, 500 years after this vision Zechariah had of the Old Testament leader Joshua, there was another Yeshua who came onto the scene. It's just a different pronunciation by the time Jesus is born. He's the ultimate Joshua. And just like in Zechariah's vision, this Joshua, Jesus, he came to Passover week, and the night before his Day of Atonement, he didn't sleep all night. He stayed up praying, preparing for the next day. But Zechariah and the priests in the Old Testament, they would have been cheered by the people, but instead of being cheered by the people, Jesus was condemned. Instead of being clothed in white garments, he was stripped naked. And instead of being bathed clean like Zechariah was in the Old Testament, Jesus was bathed in human spit. Why would he do all of that? Galatians 3:13 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And it's not just that it stops there at the cross, because the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19, says, "Let us rejoice and be glad. Fine linen, bright and clean, is given us to wear. And blessed are those who have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." See, we've got a hope. We're not just humbled by the gospel. We're given hope. We're hopeful because of the gospel, and it should change us. Psychology can't. Education can't. Pop culture can't. Those things are fine and good in their places and at their times. But at our core, something outside of us has to make us clean. Something has to come along and give us meaning and purpose and vision, and only Christ does that. So I would just say to you today, as you're thinking in the season, Merry Christmas. A Savior was born. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you came for us, not to make us better people, not to give us a bunch of rules to follow, but you came to save us. When we couldn't save ourselves, God, you died for us. You made us clean. And out of that, God, our desire, our heart, our want to is to live for you. And so as we start this week, especially this week when we're thinking more about you and your birth, Lord, it just makes us grateful. It makes us want to give you more of ourselves. It makes us want to make ourselves more available, our resources more available to your hand. So fill us, God, with your spirit and your presence today, this joy that comes, God, from knowing you. And I want to give you a minute to pray. Once again, thanks for joining us for the Drivecast. If you are in town and available, we sure do hope to see you at our Christmas Eve services tomorrow. God bless you and have a great Christmas week.